you have a we're scanning you safer parshas for Yikra, which begins a whole new focus on the korbanos, and we have a very very sensational haftorah and second safer Torah, which is a parsha of parsha Zocha, which is a chiv deraisa. The person has a choice to come to shul at any day of the year. It should be this day of parsha Zocha. It's a deraisa, and it ends with a very very fascinating and incredibly interesting haftorah. And that haftorah is based on the story of Shaul. Shaul was told by Shmuel to go along and eradicate what was left of Amalek, to go out to war. And Shaul did not listen to the fullest extent. He left over Agog, he left over the sheep. And Shmuel came back to him with a blistering attack. And he said to him, because you did what you did, then you're no longer fit to be a melech. And it's going to be stripped from you and given to somebody better than you. And Shaul leaves the scene over here disgraced. He leaves the scene devastated. And it doesn't look that much of a terrible thing that he did. In fact, the Gemara brings in Yuma. The Gemara says in Yuma, Shaul ba'achas va'olsalei. Shaul made one really, really big error. Va'olsalei, Rashi says olsalei means, and it cost him. Olsalei l'ra, it cost him. V'koinsoi le'misa u'levatel malchusoi. And he got the knas, he's going to die, and he lost his kingdom. David b'shtaim, David did two things wrong. The Gemara says two things wrong, referring to Uriah Chiti and he counted Claudius' role. V'loi olsalei, and it did not cost him. In other words, he did two things wrong, and he was a melech to the day he died. So why was it that David HaMelech did two things, and he got forgiven, and Shaul HaMelech did one thing, and he wasn't forgiven? What's the idea behind that? So David HaMelech tshuva worked, and Shaul HaMelech tshuva didn't work. He said Shaul HaMelech did tshuva. It says very clearly, he said, I did the wrong thing, and Shmuel said, I'm very sorry. You've missed it. You've lost it. It's all. I'm moving on. Why was his tshuva not respected? Why is it not accepted? So I want to go through this parasha and find some very, very fascinating, unbelievably beautiful different Torah that I saw this week, that from the Maisa Kobonis, it gives us some insight to what's going on over here. There's a halacha that there's all different kinds of Kobonis one brings, and some of the kobonos are brought with animals, some of them are brought with birds, some of them are brought with meal offerings. Now it says when he brings birds, the pasuk says, "You bring minatayrim or min bnei yoina." You bring tayrim. I looked it up. I think the best, most reliable source of translating what tayrim bnei yoina are is a living Torah. So tayrim is turtle doves, and bnei yoina is common doves. Okay. So I think I can rely on Rabbi Kaplan to explain that, what it means. So there's mina toirim or min bnei yoina. Now there's a difference between toirim and bnei yoina. When it says toirim, toirim means you can bring from any turtle dove. It doesn't have to be at an age when it is young. However, you got to bring min bnei yoina. Bnei yoina means the small common doves. In other words, when it gets to a certain age, they become disqualified by being too old to be birds. And the mission explains how old that is. In other words, when it's by turtle doves, you can even bring big ones. But by normal doves, it's going to be bnei yoina. What's the difference? It says the Ramban that you have to look into the character of these birds to understand that. He says, when you look into the toirim, there's a very fascinating element with toirim, and I don't know, you have to be the toirah in that Ramban. He says, Kevin sho'ovad ben zugoi layidbak ba'acher la'olam. Apparently there's a shidduch situation goes on there with the turtle doves, that they choose themselves a partner. And when this partner leaves them, they say that they love like doves. Yeah, once it leaves them, they never ever go to anyone else. That's it. And that's why Klal Yisrael compared to this, to Toirim, because we have this element of loyalty to Kodesh Baruch Hu, and a Kodesh Baruch Hu's loyalty to us, that he never leaves us. Right? So that is something which is unique, and that is why this bird is chosen from all the other birds, because it has this uniqueness of loyalty. However, by bnei yoina, with common doves, the Rambam says, avol yoinim kanoim mo'oid. They are very zealous, or jealous, whatever you want to say it. Ubekinosom yisparadu, and in their kinah, in other words, if they find that their partner, that I think I understand this, in a female partner, misbehaves, they kick her out of the nest, out of the kanos, vayachlifu, and then they go eventually and they start messing around with the other birds from other nests. In other words, It starts off with a good source of kanos. They kick out their spouse. How dare you? This is a terrible thing, which is not a bad thing. It's a good thing, kanos. But then it develops into loneliness and regret. And then they start hanging out and doing terrible things and other things. And therefore the Torah says, don't take doves when they reach that stage. Only take bnei yoina when they're young enough, never been through this crisis, never been through this turmoil, never been through this avera, as it were, and therefore take bnei yoina. Says a Yaakov Kamenetsky, we see from here a very, very important insight. He said, we find by midas, and that's what point you want to go through, we find that ultimately there are very, very wonderful midas that can be used for the positive and for the absolute negative. For example, says Yaakov Kamenetsky, here we have in the parasha, Yaakov Avinu, earlier on in the parasha, in the parashas Vayechi, the pasuk says, Achalkim Yaakov vafitzim beYisrael. I'll spread them out. They should be the rebbes. They should be the teachers. They should be the ones responsible for the ruchness of Klal Yisrael. Why? Because they had the fire. They had the passion. When something had to be done, they stood up and they did it. Rav Matzliol used to say, either may get klap, the kids may get a putch, you know, they get a rebbe who's a bit too, doesn't matter. But if you have a rebbe who's half asleep, Torah's not going to go into it. These people have passion. They have serious nefesh. They're going to teach Torah. So Yaakov recognized that Shimon and Levi had this amazing ability to tap in to their mysterious nefesh in themselves, and that passion will make a difference. But what happened? What happened? Shimon messed up and Levi didn't. Shimon later on had this passion. He had this fire. And what happened? The Nasi of Shevet Shimon stood up against Moshe Rabbeinu because he felt that he's going to stand up against the crowd. So he used this kanos for a terrible thing. Levi, on the other hand, was the perfect kanoi. He had a perfect record. When it came to the Egel, he was the one who stood up in the front line and he said, Mila Shem Alai, he came up to them. When it came to later on killing the people on to go back to Eretz Yisrael, on the way to Eretz Yisrael, he killed them. When it came to killing Zimri, it was Pinchas, but the Lozab and Aaron HaKohen, it was him. In other words, this Kanos that was an integral part of Shimon and Levi, for Shimon was used for the bad, and for Levi was good, used for the good. Says Yaakov Kamenetsky, how did Levi know to do the right thing and not Shimon? So he explained, because in Mitzrayim, Levi were the ones who were not involved in the Shibut. And they were sitting in a base of Medrash, being educated and learning Torah, whatever Torah they had. But he was learning Torah, and therefore when it came down to the crunch, Levi knew what to do and Shimon didn't. And therefore, this middah of kanos, which is a very, very healthy middah, if it's used in the right way, you can become a Shevet Levi, you can become the Kohuna, you can become the Eved of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But if used in the wrong way, you can totally destroy yourself and the surroundings around you. Says Yaakov Kamenetsky, so too with these birds. Yeah, if you have a bird that is a yoino, that's a fantastic thing. He's a kanoi for the right thing. He is somebody who will never, ever deviate from what has to be done. But ne yoino, yeah, we have these little ones. These are a problem because they use the kanos and then they don't really realize what they're doing, and then they have regrets, and then they go back and they start messing up. These people are not using kanos for the correct thing. So here we see the koyach of midah to know when to do the right thing and not thing. He brings an example, by the way. He brings an example of Yaakov Kamenetsky. Without Torah education, how a person can deviate from the real truth. He said, for example, let's say a person has a choice between marrying a non-Jewish woman or marrying a Jewish woman, but she will not keep Hilchus Taras HaMishpacha. Right? So a person who is a Kanoi, who does not have, though, the Torah education, says to himself, listen, marrying a Jewish woman does not keep Taras HaMishpacha is a Chiyuv Kores. Every time he does, he has relations with her, it's a Chiyuv Kores. Terrible, terrible thing. Marrying a non-Jewish woman is a love. It's a love. And it's not even clear whether it could be just a marriage is a love. It's not clear exactly. It's a love. So one you got a love, one you got a kores. Kores, how can you compare a kores to a love? Wrong. Says a Rambam, if you do a kores, it's a terrible thing. But if you marry a non-Jewish woman, your children are not associated to you, you're breaking away from the past. That is much, much worse. And a person's got to stand up against intermarriage a lot stronger than they've got to stand up against Koris in certain situations. So a person has to have an education. A person's got to know when to focus, when to use his kanos, in which way, and to hold it back sometimes and to use it in the correct ways. That is the koyach of education. Furthermore, now listen to this, is fascinating. The Sochet Shover, the Shem Shmuel says as follows. He says like this. He says, you look in the Torah, there are two birds. There's a Chatzah Se'oif and a Oila Se'oif. And there are many differences in Halacha. But one of the main differences between Chatzah Se'oif and a Oila Se'oif is that you both of them, you do Malika. Malika means you don't do Shechita, you don't shecht it, but you put your fingernail at the back of its neck. And that's how you do it. Now, but there's a big difference how Lemaisa you work from it from that stage. Malika done to a oif is you take the malika and you do malika and then you separate the whole head from the body. You separate the whole head from the body and by the oila you throw in the head and it's not going to halachos now, but you separate the head from the body. When it comes to a chatos or oif, a korban chatos, you don't separate the head. You do malika and then you squeeze the neck of the bird onto the mizbeach, but you don't separate the head. And if in fact you do, you make it possible. So he said, what's pshat? Why is it that oila, you separate the head, and that is ma'akov, and by a chatos, you don't separate, and that is ma'akov. What's the deal behind it? So he says that the Medrash brings down in Vayikra Rabbah that oila brings a kapara for machshav, for hirhur halev. For hirhur halev, for the thinking of the lev. So he says, why is it that all the way through Torah as well, you had the lashon of lev? The lev doesn't think. The lev desires. It doesn't think, as a euphemism, right? The pasuk as well in the Torah says. The pasuk says, "V'chol yetsi machshavos liboy." The thoughts of his heart. Why does it say machshavos haroish or machshavos hamoyach? Why talk about the heart? Says the Sochet Shover. He says like this. He says that it is impossible for a regular person to control the thoughts that go through his mind. It's like he brings it like a lotion of a leib kiyam nigrash, kiyam nirgash. It's a stormy sea will go through a person's mind. It's a stormy sea. And for a person to go through the life and not to allow any thoughts to enter his mind is impossible. Unless a person is Kodesh of the Kedoshim, which is very, very, very rare and nothing HaKadosh Baruch expects from us. And therefore, a person has anger, a person has gaiva, a person has taiva, a person, all the different thoughts come through his mind. That a person does not need to do tshuva for. What does a person got to do tshuva for? V'loi sasuru achrei levavchem. Los loi sasuru. So the Avnei Nezer says, loi sasuru is lashon of sosu ala oret. Sosu is a sightsee. to tour the land. In other words, the issa is, that Torah has a problem with is, if you allow it to dwell on your heart, and to think about it, and to develop those illicit thoughts. That's what the problem is. So the problem is not in the head. What goes into the head, it comes into the head, the person sometimes can't control. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu has no timers with. But what is a problem is what goes on your heart. What you think about and what you allow. You don't spam it as soon as it comes into your box. That is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu has a timer with, and that's why it's a hirhur halev, the heart. When it goes to your heart and it's come all the way down to your heart, that is when there's a problem. And that's where you've got to do tshuva. So an oila sa'oif is a kapora for a person who has reached the stage of hirhur halev, he's very likely to get to his heart. Therefore, when he brings that korban, what does he do? He separates the brain, the head from the heart, as a kapara for not separating his head from his heart. He should have separated his head from his heart. He should have allowed it to go to then not get down to his heart. But he made one connection. So the kapara of that is taking the head, separating it, and say, in the future, what stays in my head is not going to go to my heart. That's it. It's a separation. That's why Ba'ilas Oif is going to separate it. But by a Chatos Oif, what's a Chatos come for? A Chatos comes for a Shoigeg. A Shoigeg. What is a Shoigeg? A Shoigeg is when a person is unfocused. When a person is not thinking. When a person should be thinking more and paying more attention. Otherwise it would never have happened. In that case, the chet was that he didn't pay attention. He didn't allow it to go from his heart into his head. He didn't make that connection. He allowed the head and the body to be two different things. He didn't allow his head and his body to work in the same way. He should have made the body control the body more. His head control the body more. He should have made sure that there's one body making sure that his brain controls every action. And he didn't do that. And therefore, by the Chatos Sa'oif, his kapara is to make sure that the head and the heart and the body stay together. That everything your body does is controlled by your head. And that is why by the Chatos Sa'oif, it's ma'akov if you separate it. Because you're going back to the chet again. You're supposed to keep them together and make sure that there's no interruption between the head and the body. Moirdik. So he says, and that is Peshat over here as well. So we see from here that ultimately there is a fascinating connection between something that is right and something that is wrong is not ultimately within the middah itself. There's a lot of different middahs. There's a middah of kovod is a terrible, kinna is a terrible thing. Kinna taivavah kovod mitziyan es odim lo'ilam. Terrible thing. It destroys a person. On the other hand, it's a wonderful thing. Kinna sofrin tabachochma. I want to get better. Look at this guy's finished us. I want to finish us. This guy is such, look how he doubles. I want to double like that. It's a wonderful thing. So is kinna a bad thing? Is kinna a good thing? Another example, zrizus. The Gemara says in Pesachim, yesh zrizin. The Gemara says, yesh zoriz v'niskar, v'yesh zoriz v'nifsad. Some people do things very quickly, and it's wonderful. Some people do things very, very quickly, and it's terrible. Yeah? So is zrizus a good thing? Is it a bad thing? The teretz is, it's neither nor, middos are neutral. Middos are neutral. They're all neutral. It depends how you educate yourself, how you think through things carefully, whether they're good or bad. This bird, yeah, this yoina is a wonderful thing. He used kanas for the right thing. Excellent. This bnei yoina, this bnei yoina is a terrible animal. Is a terrible bird. Yeah, the term is good. It's a wonderful thing. Use kanas for the right thing. But bnei yoina is bad. It's not using kanas for the right thing. Shimon didn't use it for the right thing. Levi used kanas for the right thing. Right? And therefore it all comes in education. If a person is doing a korban oila, it's because he didn't think. He thought too much, sorry. By oila, he thought too much. He used his thought process too much. No, get rid of that thought. Mash'en came by a chatos. He didn't think enough. In other words, a person has to be in control constantly, knowing when to use this middah or when to use that middah, when to concentrate on this and when to allow this to pass. That is a godel. You know, Reb Chaim Briska, it was very, very hard to define who he was. Was he generous or was he stingy? Was he angry or was he placid? It was very hard because every situation he was in, he used a situation totally independent of anything else he'd done in the past, only focusing on what is needed to be done at that particular stage. He was very hard to determine because he didn't have that middos. Shaul and David. Shaul and David. David HaMelech did two averus and he got kapara. Shaul did one averus and he didn't. Tshuva never worked. What's the concept behind that? The problem with Shaul was, and it's brought down in the pasuk says that Shmuel Anovi says to him, V'yoyim Shmuel, Hala im koten ato beinecho, are you small in your own eyes? Reishif de Yisrael ato, you're a king. What's the matter with you? But lom alo yishamata b'koil Hashem. Why did you not listen to Koil Hashem? What does Shaul say back to him? Koten ani ba'ayna einai, I am small. Anova is a wonderful, wonderful thing. You should know, by the way, if you learn in the Gemaras, you see Shaul was an incredibly great person. And he had incredibly great anova. But another use in the wrong way allows failure to be a king. The pasuk says, "Soim tosim olecha melech." You got to have a king who he places himself on other people. She tehe imosa olecha, that you should have fear from him. Not you have fear from others. You don't run your leadership based on statistics, based on what's on polls. Yeah, should I attack Iraq or not? Let's see the polls. You got to be a king. You got to get. You got to know. You got to lead from the front. Shaul had a lack in a middah. He had a flaw in a middah. His flaw in the middah was he was an onov that was uncontrolled anova. Uncontrolled anova, he can do tshuva for that. But that is based on an individual act. You could do tshuva on the act. But if the middah is flawed, that middah that is flawed cannot allow a king to rise from that. Because if a middah is out of control, that is much worse than David HaMelech, who did two chatoim that were two different chatoim completely. A chet is a ruach shtus. There was confusion. It was a miscalculation, but it wasn't a chesaron in a midah. It wasn't one particular aspect of who he was that created a personality that was out of control. Therefore, he could do tshuva. But with a midah that's out of control, like Hanova, which is out of control, it's not possible to be a melech. You've lost it. So therefore, this is this week's parasha. This week's parasha teaches us that ultimately a person has all different things going on in his life. And it's sometimes when he's got to pick up this and leave that, and sometimes when pick up that and leave this. He's got to be in control with having education. The biggest possible credit we gave Mordechai was that the pasuk says, with all the confusion that was going on with Haman and Russia, and people were bowing down to him, they were terrorized by this man. Mordechai didn't bat an eyelid. If I'm supposed to bow down, I will. And if not, I won't. And everyone else could be going crazy. He didn't bat an eyelid. He was completely focused. That was the greatest compliment that we can give Mordechai. That was his greatest source of strength to lead Klal Yisrael out of where they left. Parsha Zochar should give us understanding that if we know what we're doing, if we have the education, if we have the Musa that gives us the focus on what has to be done, we will do it in the right way. If we don't do it, we can lose it all by focusing on the wrong things and giving credit to things that we shouldn't be doing. That is Parsha Zochar, and that is Parsha Vayikra. Yashar Koyach.
Rabbi, okay, Levi and Shimon. Levi was all the time in the yeshiva.